What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Backliners Podcast. Argo and Barracuda, as per usual, joined today by a guy who actually pulled me over on the side of the road. He had like some aviators on, and he asked me if I knew how fast I was going. And then I said, hey, do you want to come on our podcast later? It's Polar Bear Mike with a mustache.
So I'm a cop?
I suppose...
That's not fair.
I suppose in this joke, that is the joke, yes, that you're,
oh, hey, buddy.
You're a cop. Oh. I'm sorry that's what time. It's gotta be. Look, here's the deal. Sometimes I just know I need an easy week.
Oh.
And so we're just going to and so I'm like, yo, Mike, come on the show so that you can say more nonsense than both of us combined.
Mm-hmm. Because we said enough of it for a long time last week.
Yeah, last week we were in a bit of a mood. I don't know if you listened to that one, Mike, but...
I did not get a chance to, actually.
Yeah, that's... You know what? It's fine.
That's fine, actually. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, don't worry about fitting that one in if it doesn't fit in the schedule, you know? Like, that's how it be sometimes. No, it was good, and everyone should listen to all of our episodes all the time.
Mm-hmm. Very professional episodes.
Yeah, they're really good. What do we do on the show again? Oh, yeah, we talk about Smite.
Oh, yeah. We gotta do that.
We do have to do that, legally, I think. Interesting week, I would say, this week. We'll talk a little bit about... I want to get your guys' thoughts on the new god. Maybe not full patch notes. Maybe we talk about those next week. But instead, we'll talk about the new god, and then talk a little bit about SPL, which is where I think it makes some sense to start. Barry, you guys had a pretty big week this week. You played the Kings and the Leviathans. Yeah, those are two good teams. So in that sense, I would say that it's fair.
Yeah, we definitely showed up for this weekend as well. We definitely played super well this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you did play pretty well against the Kings, right?
I think they just threw and then we won.
Okay.
Okay, no offense to us, but both teams were playing pretty sloppy that set, I do believe. And then we just kind of won. And then kind of same thing happened to the Leviathans. We just got stomped out all three games, but we just happened to win game one.
Yeah, but Barrow, when you say no offense to us, shouldn't it have been no offense to, like, the Kings? Or...
Oh. No, like, full offense there, but okay. No offense to us.
Okay, no offense to you guys.
Yeah, because I'm sure they were playing their absolute best Smite as well.
I'm just trying to get this straight here.
Yeah, Mike, can you break it down for me? Because that's why I'm so freaking confused.
What does no offense to us mean exactly?
I mean, unless, like,
you're calling out like a teammate without calling them out, maybe?
I'm calling out everyone on our team, you know, like...
So we can print it. Barracuda says, team sucks.
Yeah. Basically, okay, I mean, so if you
tweet, Barracuda said his whole team sucks,
including me,
at Laspera, at Ven, at Jake, at Haddix,
including me.
He said, including me, but that was like
two minutes you.
Later.
Me?
I've already sent it.
Yeah, it's already sent.
Unlucky.
Nothing you can do about that. Yeah, it is out there. Oh, and you got Roe in there, too. That was good. I was worried
about you. Yeah, I am glad that you included the coach, because a lot of people forget about coaches.
I feel like Roe is pretty important for your guys' team.
Yeah, he is very important, actually.
I feel like Roe owns.
Clearly, he wasn't doing quite enough this week if you guys were hard-inting, right?
Yeah, that was all his fault, honestly. Every time we make a mistake in-game, whether it's like a micro call or a macro call, you know, it's probably Roe's fault that he hasn't yelled at us enough, at us enough.
About that one. Yeah, you guys kind of you kind of went full SSG mode week, Barra, where you kind of sat around and you could... Oh, he's wearing the SSG shirt. That was well timed.
Oh, I am!
And
this is so awkward.
You kind of just, like, sat around, and Smite just kind of happened around you guys. And then you would show up and be like, hopefully we win this one fight that matters. And then twice against the Kings you did, and once against the Leviathans you did.
Yeah, and it felt really weird. Like, the games against Leviathans felt way worse than the games against Kings. Because it felt like, once we got ganked, it felt like the game was literally over. And even in game 3 where we died in mid and then we double killed them in duo, we still like couldn't get anything going on duo side, like because we couldn't like transition through mid up to duo side, and I'm just like, what do we do? Like, it was like I would press tab, and then we'd just be like 1K more down every like 3 minutes. Like, those games just felt absolutely awful. I don't know what was happening this weekend.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like, I don't know. Sometimes teams, I think, just like have a week or two where they just forget how to like farm, and I feel like that's kind of what happened. Like, you just kind of forgot how to do it.
How to farm, you think?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know how else they get 1,000 down without dying every few
maybe
minutes.
I feel like sometimes people just like, well, maybe not in that case. I feel like every now and then you see a team that just like forgets how to press their buttons like mechanically, and they just get absolutely steamrolled.
Yeah, but like that's the thing, they weren't even getting steamrolled in fights, right?
That's I don't know if that's what applied to the Bolts. I think just like, yeah.
Sometimes that do happen to teams, mm-hmm. for sure. They just forget how to press buttons and they get punished for it, which is really weird if you ask me. But you guys still managed to come out with a 2-0 over the Kings. That's big. Mm-hmm. 2-1 versus Leviathans. Leviathans kind of looking real strong.
Yeah.
In general right now. They're kind of slamming just about everyone. And then, Mike, you guys had a game in studio up against the Bug Boys, the Solar Scarabs. And I thought that it was going to be kind of quick. You guys kind of slammed them game one. What happened after that?
Well, game two, I don't want to say who died in lane, but it wasn't the duo lane.
Was it mid or solo? Can you rule out mid or solo for me?
All right, let's just call a spade a spade. Alec got soloed on wave one, and Sam and Tyler got killed on wave one.
Uh-huh.
And Max and I are thinking,
what's going
fellas,
on?
You practice this game? Like, you practice, right? Like, we scrim together, right?
Uh-huh.
So anyways, after that happened, we like pulled the game back, and we were in a really, really good position, and we got fire, and Tyler got soloed by Scream because he had no actives, and then we kept fighting afterwards, and then we got wiped and lost the game off that. So probably just, you know, pushed it a little bit too hard, and then we played game three, and that's that.
You played game three. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. I have to actually look at the draft game three. I remember games one and two very well, but
I was Geb. Three.
You were Geb.
And Panda was Uller. I was Geb.
Okay. I'm seeing how this game went now. Oh, yeah. I thought this was a really good Willix pick by Sam. You guys obviously have Geb, Uller. You also have Soul, and you can alt off that alt interaction, of course. A lot easier on LAN as well. And they had an Odin Ho Yi on the other side, so felt like some pretty fairly easy picks and a Tiamat. Willix kind of good right now, I think. If Geb is pretty good, a Willix is like always kind of available as a flex option because it's just such easy setup.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also up to the jungler whether they can play it or not. I think a lot of junglers in SBL can't play a Willix.
A Willix is just a really hard, like you can do a Willix things when you're like group, but there's going to come a time where like you have to play a team fight and you can't really play it that way. And it's really hard to sometimes it's really hard to get value out of a Willix in a 5v5.
Yeah. It definitely requires like some weird decision-making. I think I agree with you, Barry, that it isn't a plug and play pick for everyone necessarily. And that brings us to today, which I thought had the two most interesting sets of the week. Obviously, Bolts, Leviathans, and Dragon Scarabs going 2-1 was fun, but look, we've heard all this talk. Scarabs have been saying that they're ready to take a step up and be a top team. Barra, you were on the podcast a couple weeks ago, said that you felt like they were ready to take that step and be a top team. What happened today? Because they should have lost to the Valkyries. They really should have.
I think the Valk debuff hit the Valks today, which is sometimes when they get a lead, you just kind of know the inevitable, like, throw will be coming later, and I think that's what happened. Also, I think Scarabs just kind of played overall bad. I'm not really sure why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's, like, Valks playing really well or Scarabs playing poorly. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it was a weird set. Mike, did you get a chance to watch it at all?
I didn't, unfortunately. I like kind of know how it went. I saw like bits and pieces, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, here's the general gist. I'll give you a quick rundown because I'm sure there are listeners who also didn't. Game one, Ducky kind of went off on Odin. And Johnny kind of went off on Loki. Surprise, surprise.
He went like 9-1 or something, right?
He went 8-2 on Loki. Zero's kind of dumped 20k damage as Changa mid. Pulled out the old El Clasico, if you will, for him in the mid lane. And they just stomped him for the vast majority of this game. I think the Scarabs came back a little bit. And it didn't. And Scream's Mace Baka did not do as much as I think they were hoping for in that game. And then game two, Scarab stomp him. Scream went absolutely hammy salami. Went 8-0-12 on Hunbats. Game was just like over because he was super fed early. And then game three, the Valks were up like 10-0 in kills, and up like 8,000 gold at 15 minutes or something like that. It was a big ol' lead. And then the Scarabs made some good plays to come back into it. Solar Troll stole a fire with a Pridwin proc on Osiris, and that doesn't feel good for anyone except for like them, I guess. But it was a bit of an awkward one, and they were able to climb back and win that one. Just unfortunate for the Valks. I mean, we all understand their situation. Like, it is what it is. But Scarabs definitely still have some things to figure out, I think, before group stages start.
Yeah, I think this set is just kind of like, oh, thank the Lord that we did not lose that set for Scarabs. Yes. Like, I think that would have been a big, like, mental shift for them, because they have been, like, in my opinion, on the up and up for a while now.
Do you think mental boom them even though they won? Is that a possibility? Does winning, like, stop that from happening, or can it still happen even when you win?
No, I think you're just, like, you just want to forget that set happened as quickly as possible and then just go back to the new week. I don't think they'll be, like, affected by it for a long time, but I think they're just happy that they won, honestly.
Yeah. Mike, thoughts on if winning a set can still mental boom you?
I don't know about mental boom, but I'd still, like, I don't know. If you think you're supposed to win, then I'd be, like, if you think you're expected to, like, hard stomp and then you nearly lose, then, yeah, I think for sure it can feel as if you didn't even win. But I also don't know if I even, like, I don't even know if I even agree with the Scarabs being, like, super favored over the Valks. I mean, I do think they've looked pretty good recently, but the Valks have actually had a lot of, like, the end of phase two, I think, as well. They had a lot of games. I think they had a set against you guys, Barry, where they, like, played the early games, like, pretty well. Like, they haven't been getting, like, they're still obviously losing, but they're not losing as bad as they used to be. Like, they've been playing better, too, I think.
Yeah, I kind of just always put it up to they will just hit a point in the mid or late game where they will just lose.
Yeah, but I mean, that surely applies to the Scarabs as well.
Yeah, but I think Scarabs are getting better, like, using their early game leads than Valks, I would say. But I think this weekend was the best time that Valks have actually pushed their lead and, like, suffocated out an opponent, which is pretty cool to see. Because before that, in my opinion, they were just kind of, like, do, like, the choke thing of, oh, we went to this objective and we lost the fight, or we went here, or we got picked somewhere. And I think today was the first time that didn't actually happen. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of happened at the Fire Giant, to be fair, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Can you guys... there's one big thing. It is literally... I casted a game on Friday, and I've been thinking about this ever since. And it has literally, like, affected my mental when thinking about Smite. And I need you guys to tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm right, okay?
Okay.
Here's what happened. It was the Valkyries Titan set. Wave one of game one. Zeros is playing Neith. Paul's playing Soul.
Oh...
Zero solos Paul wave one and gets his beats and gets Paul's beats. Okay. All by himself. No one was there.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny is playing Blink Mannequins Erlong and Paul is no bead soul. Paul lives until his beads are back up. And I've been thinking about it ever since that there is no world in which he should be able to go one death without having beads when he's going to be sharing waves in mid. And it's easy to go mid as Erlong mm-hmm. jungle. You can easily path that way. You can blink over the wall. I don't care if it's warded. It just it should be a guaranteed kill in my mind. And the fact that it didn't happen is still weighing on my mental. Is there a world where...
I don't think it works that way.
Does
it,
like, that's what I'm asking you to tell me, is if it doesn't work that way.
Well, I didn't get to see the exact scenario, so I don't know if there were just, like, missed opportunities that they kind of wimped out of, but, like...
But how is there an opportunity that you can't force?
Well, one, Paul's just, like, not a player that plays that way. Like, okay, for example, like, Captain Twig in mid, like... He doesn't care if his beads are up or not. He's playing the same way. And like, okay, I say that as a troll, but I'm not kidding. Like Twig would routinely say, like, I'm just going to make that play because it's the correct play. If they punish me, good on them. And like, that's how he thinks. And Paul is not like that. Paul's like I'm going to make sure I just get the farm that I can get sort of deal. So like, you know, if Paul doesn't want to contest stuff, then what that translates to is you just lose, like, neutral pressure, right? Like, if Paul's going to sit under his tower the whole time, you just, like, get mid-heartbeats or get wards elsewhere. Like, the lead just you don't have to get a kill for the lead to still, like, compound a little bit. If they didn't do those things, then they're noobs. But that doesn't mean you, like, have to get a kill, you know?
I don't even know, but, like, how he has to be so far under tower to live through anything. Because it's neath mid, right? If you just
The thing is, if you hold the wave... as beneath, like, that's the only way you can force him out of tower in mid, is to literally hold the wave.
Right.
And if you're holding the wave as beneath, you're not even really getting ahead because you're not farming.
Right.
So it doesn't feel good for your zeros either. So it just, I don't know, I'd have to see the situation to tell you who's the noob, but at the end of the day, it might just be all of us.
Mike, do you want to start a content series called Who's the Noob? And we watch videos back and we determine who the noob is in each situation?
I would be really good at that, for sure.
Who's the noob? Barra, yeah. Your thoughts on this situation? Because I've literally still been thinking about it.
I kind of agree with PBM. I would have to watch back the exact situation. But I think securing...
Have a hot take, fellas. Have you never seen a Stephen A. Smith thing in your life? He doesn't care if he's seen it or not. He just says stuff. That's what I'm doing.
I was going to say...
Henry's securing... the best player on the Chargers. I'm
sorry. Securing neutrals and getting, like, the 100% farm while still pressuring Paul under his tower, I think is the correct call. You don't have to kill him as long as you're taking his farm away.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
In my opinion.
I just think you probably could have done both.
Because, as PBM said, Paul's... You know, he's going to play his way. He's going to play the safe way. It's very hard to kill Paul most of the time, unless he's, like, feeling a little frisky that day.
Mm.
But, yeah, I agree.
Feeling a little frisky.
Yeah, sometimes yeah, Paul, like, gets in there, you know? Some days, it's just like, I'm not a KDA player
today. He randomly has the set. He's like, I'm playing Zhong. Screw it.
I feel like getting in there today. That's for sure. Dude, he played Soul both games in that Valkyrie set. Game one, it was like a 4 physical comp, so you know he's going Breastplate second item. Of course. Even on Soul, right? Then game two, he's playing against Tiamat mid. It's a normal comp. Like, support is a Kepri, so not going to do damage either way. But my man still goes Breastplate second item Soul.
Yeah.
He can't. He loves it.
I mean, the Kepri damage isn't that relevant, right? Like, if you're...
No, certainly not.
If you're... Yeah, I mean, if your logic of whether you go breastplate or not is basing it off the support pick, I don't think it matters.
No, it's that game one, it totally makes sense that he goes breastplate because he's up against mm-hmm. Neith, Erlong, Heimdall. Like, that's all the damage. But game two, he had to deal with a Tiamat, but he just can't... He's addicted to breastplate second, right? He loves it.
Yeah. He does love it. He loves it.
I really want to try that build because, I mean, if Paul's building it, then it's got to be good. So,
Barry, haven't you and I talked about how we hate Paul's soul builds in the past?
Yeah, but maybe he knows something that we don't know.
Look, Paul.
He does.
Listen.
Yeah, exactly.
I will not be slandering Paul on this podcast or anywhere else, okay? Paul Goat, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he's doing it, there has to be a reason for it.
But there is a world, right?
Oh, no. No,
where he's
not.
Winning in spite of the build and not because of it, right? Like, we all acknowledge that is an option, yeah?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Mike, which cat is that?
This is Echo.
Echo. I love his little stripey on the back.
Yeah, he's a little confused as to what he's supposed to do, but I think he's settled on my lap is fine.
Okay, yeah, we're loving that. There's really good podcast content when we talk about things we can see, by the way. That's one of my that's one of my favorite things.
You could describe it.
Okay,
actually, you did say stripe on the back.
Yeah, he's
so
got
that's
the, it's
one.
Like a, what is that type of cat
here, I'll show you.
Called?
Here he is.
Okay, this yeah. Is, here you go, podcast listeners. Just look for him. Yeah. Just open your eyes, dummies.
Good boy.
All right, final set of the weekend was the Oni Warriors up against the Camelot Kings. It's a 2-0 for the Kings, but they were two really close games. The Warriors definitely had opportunities to win. Vogt kind of went absolutely crazy on Uller a couple of times.
Nope.
Dude, Vogt, the way Vogt plays Uller, I feel like I could tell Vogt's Uller versus Panicat's Uller versus Zuler. Like, I feel like they all have three.
Did he do his 25% crit Deathbringer build?
No, he did not. He built like a human this time. And he was.
What? I didn't crit there?
Yeah.
Dude, he does that every time, man. He loves it.
He, there was one play. You were watching the Ravens game, I assume, Mike, so you didn't get a chance to see this set.
No, we like watched it in between. We had it on our phones.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, dude, that play where he killed Twig game one with like, it was right by Gold Fury. He jumped away. His axe got like just barely missed because he 180'd it. He literally turned around, autoed Twig for 360, wounded him for 480. And then threed him over the wall for like another.
Was that like after like a siege? It was like right after a siege, and they like chased out, and then he like turned on him.
No, it was like mid game. It was right after he had finished like Bumba Spear or something like that.
Okay. Wait, no, maybe that was it. I don't know. There was a random point where we were like, "Oh yeah, the Kings are like way ahead. They're just gonna win." And then we're like, "Oh, Twig's dead."
That did happen, but maybe that was after the firefight. He kind of got picked on a lazy back.
Yeah, it might have been that then.
But overall, Vogt kind of went nuts.
It is. I got the time for it if you guys want to see it back.
Oh, yeah. What time in game was it?
20 minutes on the dot, basically.
Oh, he linked it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Just absolutely slammed him. That was a sick play. And then game two, his little, like, loop around the back and steal of EFG was absolutely nuts. Yeah. What a fun set this was. Dardez, like, literally almost pentakilled the
Kings. Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. That was freaking crazy.
Dude, Fat Kui Quadra.
Dude, that was nuts. That overall, very, very fun set, but ultimately not quite enough for the Oni Warriors. But I was saying it on cast. No. I felt like at least they were, like, they had a cohesive plan, and they were, like, doing the plan over and over and over again. Like, they had an idea of how they wanted to play the map, they executed on how to play the map, and if they lose from there, fine. Like, that does not bother me. The Warriors have been the main proponent of having Smite happen around them in the early game and then hope they win one team fight this year. And it is my least favorite brand of Smite ever. I hate it. I hate it. I can't stand it. It's your fault, Barry, because I had to watch you do it for a whole season.
What? It's not like I was doing it on purpose.
Well, you
God.
Kept doing it, so okay, I don't know.
That was not up to him.
Well, it might not have been up to him, but I'm putting the blame at your feet because no one else from your team's here on the podcast, okay?
Well, I'm sorry that I forced my whole team to spectate Smite for a whole year, Aggro.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mentally, that was very good for me that year. I loved that year. That was so fun.
Yeah, 100%. Look, overall, thoughts on this set from you, Barry?
I just honestly really enjoyed watching it as a fan, because I watched it today at 2x speed. I didn't watch it live, I just watched it back.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of just crazy good Smite games, because a lot of like wild things were happening in the late game,
yeah,
which is always fun to watch. It wasn't like the classic like stand around and wait for something to happen, because these teams are kind of just forcing things like willy-nilly, and I think a lot of teams are doing that in phase three or this phase, because I mean it's like a semi-important phase but not like the most important phase in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people are just playing pretty loose right now, and it's just fun Smite to watch, honestly. That sounds like a very, like, spectator, like, casual thing to say, but it was just fun to watch.
Your guys, I think it was your game 2 versus Leviathans.
Oh, don't talk about it.
No, wait, was it? No, it was versus Kings. It was versus Kings. It was your game 2 versus the Kings. And I was just thinking, like, I don't know what either team's doing right now. I have no idea what I'm watching.
That game was wild.
It was like, I'm pretty sure every decision I'm seeing is absolute garbage and every mechanical play is wrong. But if I was a fan, I would be thinking this is the sickest game ever.
That was an absolute, like, back alley brawl.
Like, if I'm an arena main, I'm thinking, like, yeah, this is good Smite.
I should play Conquest if it's going to be like this. This was like a back alley brawl, but outside of a bar where you'd all been drinking heavily. Because you guys were, like, the mechanical aspect, the decision-making aspect, it was all there.
That's actually perfect, because I could have swore everybody was drunk. It was like, Twig forgot he could jump dodge E3, like, Lasper forgot that he could ult the Hunbot up, because even if you have Magi's, it still does damage to you, believe it or not, and you can just kill that guy. So, like, it was crazy everywhere.
Yeah, I think my tweet was, like, not sure if those were scrims or SPL games. Like, they were just the most loose SPL games I have ever played. Like, Lasper was just like, yeah, I'm just going to go kill this guy again.
Dude, like, I loved how Lasper and Twig played that.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. Lasper should never lose that 1v1. That's an unlosable 1v1. He lost it, like, once or twice, but won it, like, 5 times or something.
Yeah.
So, like, he still comes out on top there. My favorite part about it was, I think Hazer had a tweet about it. Like, you know Twig is split pushing still. Like, you know Twig's getting... Not only is Twig getting that wave, he's not hiding it, and you know he's dumping his whole kid on it. Like, you better believe it.
Hey, stretching back to what you just said, if they punish me for it, that's a good play by them.
Take your hat off to him, man. You know, that's it.
What do you think, as someone who teamed with Ben for a long time, Mike, what do you think his comms were like that game, if you had to guess?
Ben, when he does something like that, he normally says, like, that was bad, I knew that was bad, and then that's about it. He'll say something like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I love, like, experiencing it for 2 years, I loved playing with Twig and watching it. I just find so much humor in, like, how he plays, because I think of the things that... The way Ben says things, it's just so funny to me. And I think my perfect, like, analysis of Twig as a player, I said it in Discord the other night, I don't know if you were there, but it's like, I think Twig is, like, an insanely talented player and great teammate. You just have to be willing for him to absolutely lose you a couple games. But if you're good with that, Twig is the GOAT, man. I love Twig. Twig is sick.
As long as you're cool with that.
Listen, man, Twig just gets it. Like, he's just a winner. He just knows he's a winner, and you have to be willing for him to be a loser a couple times. But he is a winner, like, in every sense. He's the GOAT.
I agree. Love Twig. I agree. Agreed. Mike or Bear, were you going to say something?
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I guess, like, watching Twig for, like, years... I kind of hard agree with Mike for he's just, like, he's just a winner. Like, he just does the play that he should be doing to get his team the win. It's not always the, like, most attractive play, I will say. But at the end of the day, he gets a lot of dubs. So I have insane respect for Twig.
I said this on Cast of the Day. I don't know if there's another player in the league who understands his role and his team's composition game to game, god to god, better than Twig.
Undefeated on it. No one's close.
Like, yep. he is so flexible in that way, and the way he thinks about the game is so malleable. It's really hard to have anything but a ton of respect for the guy, for sure. He's a great player, and love watching him play. Fellas, before we get into the new god, we almost forgot about the biggest matchup of the entire weekend. It was me versus my pubes. That's right. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Listen, I gotta keep it fresh somehow, okay? Especially with our great friends at Manscaped. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com/back for 20% off plus free shipping. Mike, thanks for coming back. I was saying that it was me versus my pubes.
So good. It was so good.
Oh man. Okay, no troll. I'm not going to show stream, obviously, but I am wearing my Manscaped boxers today, and I think it got me in the right mindset to have a great idea for how to do this read. You know what I mean?
Dude, do we have time to share a story from the studio?
Absolutely.
From yesterday?
Please do. Yes.
Dude. Okay. So yesterday, Barry, we're like getting ready for our set, and I think you guys are going to game three. So like during your draft, we were joking about I'm not going to say the bit in case we do it, but we were joking about like a bit we could do. Yep. Okay. And like Ryan has to go cast. So he goes down the hallway and he comes back like 30 seconds later. And he's like, actually, I thought, and he like thinks of something else and he leaves. And then Kabam makes a joke of like, I love how he's being willing to be late for the cast just to continue the bit. And then he comes back 30 seconds later. He's like, okay, one more thing.
Okay. But they were good ideas for the record. Yeah,
they were good. And then he goes back to cast. And then he texts me a third idea. And then a minute later he goes, holy shit, it just keeps getting better. He has another one.
I was on fire yesterday. Okay. I was really feeling it yesterday. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is, but some days I just wake up and my brain just like works better on those days. And I felt like I was on a really good day yesterday. You know, my bits, they were flowing. I thought I was pretty on the ball today. I got Dave with a Bofa D's on cast. Cause Fred kept stealing away the speed buff and still getting his. And Dave said he keeps getting both speed buffs. And I said, Bofa? And he looked at me and I just maintained eye contact. And I was like, Bofa D's speed buffs? And he instantly like checked out mentally. That's all there was to it. But anyways, I was telling you about my great friends at Manscaped.
Listen,
your promo wasn't done. I'm sorry.
No, hey, that's all right. We just got a little sidetracked here. I just got to make sure that the fans know that the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop up your worst weeds and top up your nose and ear hair. They also got the Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. You might be thinking, Mike, that is going to tear my stuff up. It won't. It is safe, okay? I trust that thing more than a seatbelt. I don't know. I was thinking about something safe, and that's the first thing that came to mind. This is going really great, and everyone thinks it. Here's the deal, everyone. You get 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com/back. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/back. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with manscaped.com. I didn't even make that last part up. That's part of the copy, okay? No. I can't do anything about that.
The whole time you were doing that, I was thinking of the bit where he's like talking about the grill ad. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yes, dude. Yes, that was my inspiration. It really
was. I was thinking about this the whole time, man.
Yeah.
He's like, you can grill beef and chicken. That's not very inventive.
Mike's referring to a Norm Macdonald clip that I shared on Twitter a while ago when he passed. That it was the funniest like compilation of ad reads I've ever seen, and it really inspired me. As it, I've seen some of his stuff in the past, and his humor is very much of our humor, and those were the ones I was. I thought my best Norm Macdonald moment for that was when you came back, and I said, Mike, I'm glad you're back. You missed it. The matchup was me versus my pubes. I thought that was very Norm Macdonald, so I was proud of that one. All right, let's talk a little bit about Kleedna, shall we? The new assassin that's coming to Smite. I don't know if you guys... I didn't tell you guys to look at the kit. I figured that you had...
I have.
Mike, have you taken a look at this kit?
I don't know, like, which ability is which, but I know what she does.
Okay, cool. Overall, how do I want to do this? We can go step by step. Let's talk about the passive first, because this is the big one. Kleedna can walk into walls once every 16 seconds, and while inside the wall, she can move freely and use some of her abilities. Every 0.5 seconds, she loses 0.15% of her health, stacking intensity up to 40 times. It's worth noting this is true damage as well.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that is true damage. So you can't.
Yeah, I thought it was just scaling from like a certain number. I didn't know it was a percentage of her health. That's kind of wild.
It's percent HP, and it ramps over time. She cannot enter a wall while below 25% health or crippled, and while inside the wall and for 5 seconds after exiting, she gains 10% physical ability lifesteal. I've actually played Kleedna a decent amount in dev played tests, and I will say that this passive is super fun, and it is good. That's how I'm gonna put it. It turns out being able to sit in walls for a while is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then like
does it feel weird like entering and exiting the wall? Like what's the cast time on it?
You kind of push. How do I want to describe this? It's kind of like pushing a heavier garage door open. Not the garage door that your car goes in, but like you know how some garage doors are like heavier to like. Keep the cold out and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Analogy, man. Why don't you just compare it to how it feels to use a different ability in Smite?
Shut up, Mike. Not everyone plays Smite. Everyone opens a garage door.
It's a garage door, you buffoon.
No, everyone's using a garage door. You know what? You got a lot of groceries in one hand, and you got to like push it open with the other, and it's one of the heavier ones. You know, not one of the light ones. You really got to give it some momentum. So you got to like you got to pause for a second, and then you're in.
Okay, so how long is it?
I think like the time to get in.
That was the question I was asking to begin with.
Well, you should have asked that, baby. That's on you. Ooh, okay. I'm gonna say I think it's like a little under half a second. If I had to guess, I'd say it's like 0.4 seconds or so.
That is OP then.
Or maybe 0.5.
Yeah, that seems pretty good.
Serial Kira in chat is saying it's about a second. I feel like it's faster than a second, but maybe I'm saying it's too short. Also, it is worth noting that I have not played her in her PTS state, and those are types of numbers that do get adjusted all the time. So it's possible that it has been longer since I've play tested it, but I'm pretty sure it was under a second. Probably not 0.4. Probably about like 0.5 or 0.75.
So does it feel like accessible to enter and leave walls during a team fight, or is it something you need to prepare beforehand?
You will take damage. Like I could aim an ability at the wall as I think you're going to it. The same, not nearly as fast as like Giannis, but like, you know the amount of time that you have. Like when Giannis like places a portal on the wall, and is like not quite there. But really there, but like he's not gonna get pulled through right away, but it's like half the distance of his portal.
Yep.
It's about that amount of time, I would say, for him to like walk to the wall from there. Mabina Gooch gets it in chat. It's about the amount of time you have to open the garage door when you have one arm full of groceries. Like they're getting it.
That's a pretty long time.
I don't know what's hard for you guys. It is not easy. Like you won't be able to just like get in. And remember, it's only once every 16 seconds, and that is not affected by like CDR or anything like that, to my knowledge. So, in my experience, I was really using it as a way to get into the fight. Pretty rarely to get out of the fight.
Okay. Yeah, I got that makes sense because you have to choose like one time during the fight to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess, Mike, any thoughts on the passive before we move on to the one?
Broken.
Yep.
Absolutely broken.
Yeah, really good. Banshee's Wail is her one. I've been really bad, guys, about learning new god ability names. I used to know all of them. Well, I still know, like, all the old ones, I think. But I haven't been keeping up for the new ones, so I'm going to try and make an effort from here on out. You know, maybe something I should have been doing for my job the whole time.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thanks, Barry. Kleena wails at enemies before her, causing damage 3 times, the final hit being the strongest. The final hit will also cause enemies to be silenced and deafened for 1.5 seconds. And while channeling the scream, Kleena is immune to knockups. While inside the wall, Kleena will cause a spectral face to appear and wail in her stead that damages enemy gods in a wider cone. It does, so there's 2 ticks of damage that do 35 to 95 plus 40% of your power. And then the final tick will do 70 to 230 plus 70% of your power. It's a 12-second cooldown. In non-wall form, it's as wide as an Alquang 3. That's like, I'm pretty sure it might be the same targeter.
What is that in garage doors?
In garage doors, it's like the size of a garage door, but thinner at the front. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And then it's like the car garage door whenever you're in the wall. It is a full half circle, basically.
Okay. A full half circle, yeah.
So it's
pretty big ability.
It's pretty big. And it's spooky as well. I don't know if you guys have like seen the face that comes out and the scream and that kind of stuff. You're gonna get jump scared. I'm like sure of
it. Yep.
I'm super sure of it.
It was pretty spooky when I watched it on release.
Yeah. It is definitely spooky. All right, Mike, you got to go first for this one. What are your thoughts on her one?
It sounds pretty cool. I haven't gotten to see the effect of it. However, I'd like to echo my sentiment from her passive, which is, in a comp setting at least, the ability to make them not hear is broken.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm. 1.5 seconds isn't that
It's not
long?
As bad as when I heard a character was going to have the ability to stop you from hearing audio. I imagined, like, long duration, like, X-Ball level.
Yeah.
1.5 isn't that bad.
Yeah. And you have to, and she has to be close in order to hit you with this.
I mean, you'll say that until, like, you don't hear, like, a raw ult or, like, a cuckoo ult and your backliner is just like, what?
My comment to that is going to be, not my problem.
Oh. Okay.
Just be better, actually. Yeah.
Right.
Well, to be fair, like... Okay, say there's like a Thoth ult or something. Uh-huh. Like, it's normally the frontliners should be calling, but the Thoth is like charging. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. Over walls and team fights. Like, So if I can hear it, then just press your active button. You know, right. Be ready for it.
Okay. Though you are silenced, so you have to kind of preemptively do it.
I'm saying if she's silencing my backline, if uh-huh. I can hear it, if I'm calming it, then it's okay.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough.
Maybe.
Barra, your thoughts on this one?
I want to play against it to see exactly how OP it is, like number wise.
It hits pretty hard. Button. She does the last few times I played her, I was like, damn, I'm doing a lot of damage.
If you hit both parts, it's 325 base.
No, it's 2 parts of the scream damage, 1 of the final hit damage.
Wait, what? So it's even more than that?
Yeah. It's like 150% scaling.
Yeah, so that 325, you know what that becomes?
What's that?
You're not going to believe it. It's 420. It's lit.
Okay. yeah, it hits dummy hard.
Yeah, so is that like something I have to Aegis in a team fight, or I'll feel really bad if I don't?
Yeah.
Like a double tap from a Thor hammer, basically, late game? Or mid-game?
But remember that she has to be like right next to you in order to be doing it. Okay. Pretty much. Well, not right next to you, but, like, pretty close. So that, she can't be interrupted, but she's knockup immune.
You said it was the same length as an Alquang 3?
Roughly, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah. She has to be pretty close. All right. The 2, I think one of her coolest abilities, Flickering Visions. Kleena fires a distorting bolt of energy that explodes on contact with a living soul. This means it does get blocked by minions, and that is something that you do have to play around pretty hard. Enemy gods hit by this explosion lose the ability to perceive Kleena for 4 seconds. If she attacks or is hit, she flickers back into vision before fading back out. As long as one god, enemy god is debuffed by Kalina, she gains a movement speed buff. This does 90 to 310 plus 70%, and the movement speed is 20 to 40% based on rank. This is really... Pond did such a good job with the theming of this character, because not only does she like legitimately jump scare you out of the wall, but her three, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, does so much damage, and it's so fast that I feel if you're in range to get hit by the two, then you're in range to get hit by the three. The dash is that long. And so if you get hit by it, you're like, oh crap, I really hope she doesn't dash me. Like, it is spooky for those 4 seconds, and they feel long. Worth noting from Red Angel in chat that this is her one ability that can't be cast from inside the wall.
Yep.
Which is good because it's her best range, by far. Barry, thoughts on the two?
Getting out to play against it, I didn't think it was going to be that good when I saw them doing the playtest, but the god reveal for it. Mm-hmm. But maybe in an actual scenario of me getting ganked, it'll be much scarier. Are people going blink first relic on her?
I was going no blink at all. I was going beads. Okay. She feels like set to me, where like,
okay,
I can get on who I want to get on because my dash is super long, but if I'm in, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the way it feels. I could be wrong. Maybe blink three. This projectile is kind of slow. Now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if I could like two blink instant cancel my three and like burst you for 1,000 before you Aegis.
I hope not.
That'd be cool.
I bet you can.
It'd be like, that is a mechanically difficult play to make.
If the post fire isn't too long, then I bet
you can.
She kind of like whiffs it out the window in a way. She kind of like does this little like backhand little whiff.
Another great analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. That's something I would like to test. It's probably just worse, but it's just fun, like flashbang rawing people. You know what I mean? Like, flashbang raw isn't better than beats Aegis, but it is more.
I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
So when she uses abilities in the wall, does it just like, you still can't hit her, right? So it'll do like the animation coming out of the wall, but you can't damage her, and that's that, right?
So the only abilities that she... So the three takes her out of the wall. It's a dash.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. From the wall. Okay. That makes sense then. Gotcha.
The one, yeah, it just kind of pops up. But because it's not her, you can kind of like deploy it and then move a little bit, but not by much because it's pretty quick.
Yeah, I was curious with the three specifically, but if that like makes you exit the wall, that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Mike, any thoughts on the two before we move on to the three? Because you're jumping ahead, you little idiot.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know. I an ability like that, I'd have to see, because kind of as you were mentioning, it depends on like the cast time, range, you know, all that type of stuff. The movement speed on the tooltip looks broken. Like 20 to 40% movement speed looks absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just have to see the ability. That is by far the least offensive thing so far.
Sure. All right, her three.
Lurching... Everything sounds really cool, though. I don't want to be a downer, you know?
Sure, of course. Lurching Claw. Kalina dashes forward, damaging enemies she passes through. At max range, if she cancels this dash or upon refiring the ability, she will unleash a claw swipe that deals heavy damage. And they are not messing around when they say heavy damage. Kalina can cast this while inside the wall, resulting in the dash traveling farther. Dash damage is 35 to 135 plus 30%. Claw damage is 90 to 290 plus 95%.
What?
Yep. And it's a 14 to 12 second scaling down cooldown. I don't know if it got changed, so I probably should have checked this before I'm saying this on the podcast, but here we go. Who cares? When I play tested her last, if you were in a mid-harpy wall, you could reach the other mid-harpy wall with the dash. It covered the whole lane. Like, side to side.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, like, the dash range would have taken me wall to wall. Someone in chat might be able to confirm that. Yeah, okay, chat is saying
it's... Use me?
It is big. Like, I felt like there was nowhere the mid laner could position against me to not get hit by this. If I was coming out of the wall, that's why I was saying I don't think she needs blink, because she is just like, You're getting on who you want to get on. Yeah, and it does 90. I was maxing this first in jungle because I was just like one tapping everyone I saw.
Yeah, I kind of just feel bad for all the mid laners that have to play against the Sirkette support and that character in the same game. Can you imagine trying to walk up to any mid wave?
No, that's why I'm playing Nuwa. Here's the thing about Nuwa, guys. You can't zone her. Thoughts?
Yeah. Really good.
Mike's thinking about it.
I'd leave the game before I played with a Nuwa mid.
Okay, fair enough. But she's... Okay, never mind. Yeah, this ability is really good, guys. I don't think that I can really overstate how good this ability is because you can hit because she kind of has this like rectangular hitbox that's her as she's going and then a big cone whenever she swipes. And so you can dash, hit them with the dash damage, then cancel it or refire it and turn around and swipe them. Rip to all the console boys. And you do quick maths here. Like 425 plus 125% scaling to that person.
Yeah, I feel like a dash should not do that much damage, actually. That does not seem good.
I mean, she's got a dash. She's got to use her movement.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I guess so, you know.
I mean, as far as damage goes, that's not... Okay, it's like good.
Uh-huh.
But... Okay, say you max that ability first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're kind of all committing. Like, if you don't get that kill instantly, then the rest of your kit feels pretty bad, and your clear surely is worse doing that.
And if it you're scales not max- the same cooldown as your one, which would be your clearing ability.
Yeah, but if you're using your movement ability as your main clear, it's going to feel a lot worse, I think, for like the rest of your like map movement and stuff. All I'm saying is at least there's a bigger downside to that. Because if you don't max it, the damage really isn't that crazy, like the base of it. The scaling is, but not the actual like base of the rank one.
Sure. Yeah, she it does feel very fun to like it's fun dashing across a whole lane at someone. I appreciated playing as it for sure. That was a good time. And then the ultimate, tearing the veil. Kleena tears the veil between life and death. Unleashing banshees in a line in front of her after a brief delay. When it first opens, it deals heavy damage before dealing rift damage rapidly to targets in the area and slowing them. Basically, it just like shoots at a projectile, and then it's like opwash ult in a line after that.
Yep.
Like little guys, and they are running around for the record.
The line is horizontal to her.
No, it is like it shoots in her. It's perfectly straight. It's like a delayed raw beam.
Oh, okay, but then they go sideways from that.
No, they keep going in the same direction.
It's wherever you place it in the wall. Yeah. You're putting a raw one to come out from a wall, basically.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, gotcha. The way I was reading it, okay.
This ability has two charges, and she can use it while inside a wall. And when it is used this way, the veil is weakened, but not fully torn, instead activating when a target gets too close. And so basically you can place... rifts on the wall to then explode and jump scare people as they come around corners. I was using it a lot around like mid harpies, placing it as they, so they couldn't see it from mid lane, but as they like rounded the bend to mid harpies on solo side, basically like where you would put a Ymir wall to lock them off of there, if that makes sense. In Mike's terms, putting it like that direction, when you're really ahead as Kleena, putting these on the backside of speed buffs, so after the jungler clears speed, and then sitting in the speed wall and then killing them from there was super fun, and we love that. And you can put them in the door so that when they go through the door, they can't see it because the wall is there, and the wall comes down, they step on the thing, and then bam, they get slammed by it. That's really fun, too. That was some of my favorite usages.
Go ahead. How is it around like late game fire giants? Like, were you able to go in the wall and like spectate everyone on the other side of the wall and tell everyone? Yeah, that seems a little OP.
Yeah, the thing. So this ability did get a lot of changes. I think its functionality has changed a decent amount since I played it. But this ability had a lot of tinkering. I played with playtests where this felt absolutely insane, and anytime anyone rounded a bend where a rift was, they'd take like 30% of their health and I would one-shot them from there. Mm-hmm. There were other times where I feel like it didn't spring right, and it was too slow, or it was too visible, and they could instantly, you can like auto-attack them to kill them from an angle, and so they won't pop, I believe. And so this ability was one that had a lot of different stuff. So I don't know where it's at right now, but here's the awkward thing, fellas, is that for every ability, for every god I've ever played in playtesting, there were playtests where it felt absolutely broken and playtests where it felt absolutely useless. And that's part of that's part of the game, right? Like, that's part of designing a character. So when I say that all of these things felt very strong, it is with the caveat that some of those playtests, she was just really strong in her strong iterations. I played a Gilgamesh playtest where it looked like he was Thor dunking people. He got so high up in the jump, and he could jump like way further, and it was crazy. Like, it was absolutely huge. So that's kind of the way, you know, I think it's pretty important for me to clarify for listeners as well that anything I say about like playtest stuff that I like before she was released, like, take with a heavy grain of salt, because all of those received an insane amount of changes since I've touched it to when you guys are going to be able to touch it.
Will she be available for like worlds?
I do not know.
I would assume so, but I don't know.
Yes, she will.
Cause,
okay.
Well, it'll be really close, actually. Maybe not. Okay, because if this patch, I'm going to go see if they have a date listed on it. Because the patch, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, we get the bonus, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we get this in October 19th. She is released. And normally a month after, there's a real like patch, not a bonus patch. Which would mean she'd be available for comp play like mid-December. So it might even be for the group play tournament after Phase 3 playoffs.
Oh.
But Worlds for sure. It should be for Worlds. Unless that's she's a bug or something, obviously.
How do you guys feel about, like, what if group play was just before her legality would normally come through? Theoretically, if she isn't available for group play, would you guys be down to have her available for Worlds, even if like her availability came after group play, but before the World Championships itself?
Normally I don't like that kind of stuff, but I think it makes sense for her to be available. But as a player, I don't like it.
I'm pretty against it historically. Because like, of course I think new characters are cool and exciting, but the issue I have with it is kind of like the precedent, because then you just don't really need a lot of like, it just feels kind of like at a whim, you could just decide that arbitrarily. And I think that's kind of like against the point of the rules. And the original reason for that rule is like in case of bugs and like interactions that you just don't get time to test out. And like as a pro player, it's kind of unrealistic for us to like, you know, say she gets released. It's unrealistic for us to scrim with her for a month before she's available and really like test all of her bugs and stuff, because it just would change drafts completely, you know? Like, it's not good practice at that point.
Isn't that exactly what happened for Yumoja 2 years ago? That she wasn't available for like the state right before Worlds, and then the break happened before Worlds, and she would be technically legal if games were just happening during that time, but then she wasn't allowed at Worlds because you guys didn't get a chance to play with her at all beforehand?
No, she was just like by her own like time constraints. I think she just wasn't available. Like, period. Okay. She came out the patch that was like the week of or before World. I think she might have even been released like during it. It was something weird.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember a weird timing thing. I wasn't sure if that was it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Because and then I think, you know, you get to the point where it was like she was released, and who was the other god that was like the start of last year?
Start of
season 7. It was her and some other god, and both were really, really good.
When did Persephone come out?
Persephone was before. Persephone was in that split. She was bugged at Worlds. It wasn't Danza. Danza was this year.
Release
date. I could just look. I'll find it as well. It wasn't another Guardian. It wasn't a Warrior. I think it was a mage.
Yemoja. So I'm looking at Yemoja.
It was Haim and Yemoja were both available at the same time. That sounds
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Yemoja, but Yemoja released. I think I'm right though, Mike, because Yemoja released October 15th, which would be this exact like time frame.
Yeah, but if she's released October 15th, then she's not available until November 15th, and Worlds was before Thanksgiving in that year.
Oh, was it?
So she would have been in ranked the week that Worlds was, but okay, you have to be in ranked for 2 weeks, and then you're allowed to be played.
Gotcha. Okay, that's what it was. You're right. Okay, so that's we figured it out. We got there. Damn, it is crazy looking at some of these lists. I was talking about released Chalk earlier today during an SCC cast, and I realized that Chalk was released before season one, and I'm sure it's probably a very small percentage of our player base that was watching that had played released Chalk.
Chalk, Jungle, Akiva,
or my time, that's for sure.
Yeah, Chalk when he was first released. Okay, this is what I was saying on the cast, Barry. Chalk when he was released was broken. Mike didn't play it, but you did. You played against it. Yep. He was busted, right? And there were two main things that made him really busted. It was that 100%. He had 100% damage mitigation on his ult. He was just damage immune in his ult. And he had massive attack speed slow on his three.
Yep.
He now has 80% mitigation on his ult. And he has an attack speed slow on his three again. He's got to be good.
Yeah, but he was still released in 2013, so.
Gotta be good.
I actually genuinely think that character is probably not that bad. He only has 70% on his ult, not to nitpick, but.
Doesn't it scale up to 80?
No, it's 50 to 70.
Wait, it scales?
Yeah, it scales per level.
Yeah, I actually checked that because I thought it was only 50, and I just checked his like tooltip, and right, it's 50 to 70, so it does scale up. But I the base is 50.
There you go.
Either way, I actually do swear that god is actually like pretty good.
Agreed.
And yeah, I'm not sure. The thing is, like, you know, comparing it 7-8 years ago is so long.
It is a long time ago for sure. He was so good back then. Percival's asking in the chat if Worlds will be played on the winter map. I assume it will be. I don't see why.
100% it will. Yeah. We can't change it, right?
Yeah.
Like, we literally can't change the map.
Yeah, so it will be played on the winter map. We don't really have time today to talk about the map changes, but I guess, Barrow, we'll get your thoughts on it next week when we talk about the patch notes more in depth.
Sure.
Mike, since you hate us and won't come on again until after you've cooled down a little bit from this experience, any quick thoughts on the new map, even though I know you haven't played it?
I think... I haven't gotten to see it, like, in-game, but it sounds and looks really cool. I love the idea of, like, the mist, and I think just, like, the theme of having to be, like, kind of snowy and, like, winter, you know? I love all that.
It's getting a little chilly outside, Mike.
Ooh, it's so cold.
Ooh, first game, hopefully Panda isn't listening. I'm sure he isn't. First game on the new map, you go, oh, Panda, I'm a little cold. Can I come by you? And then you just, like, literally touch his character model as much as you can. Good bit or no?
I kind of just want to play like Agni and be like, oh, I'm melting, you know, you get it, because like, yeah,
that's pretty
good. No, the snow is melting. That's how it works.
That's how it works. We figured it out absolutely. Oh my god, guys, I can't believe I forgot to tell you about this great news that I have. It's that if you are dealing with the big wireless carriers, you don't have to anymore. I totally forgot. Bear, I don't know if you're acting or if I keep getting you with these, but keep it up if you are acting, because I appreciate it. Because I look at you every time, and I always hope that you're like rolling your eyes at me, which is what I aim for and what I will be getting every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the great news, everyone, about Mint Mobile, one of our sponsors here for the Backliners podcast. If you're sick of dealing with all the big wireless providers, I've got great news for you. They've got premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, and there's no catch. That's all there is to it. All plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You get to use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. So switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped straight to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/backliners. That's mintmobile.com/backliners. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/backliners. Bera, you use Mint Mobile all the time. Don't you just
Yeah, I was about to say, no.
Why, Bera, you laughing is undermining me here a little bit. I don't like it.
Yeah, I was going to, you know, help you out with this.
Oh, please do.
And your handoff was just so bad.
Yeah. What?
Your handoff was bad.
Name three ways in which it was bad.
Okay. All of it was bad.
That's only one way.
What? That's all? Okay. Back to Mint Mobile. And how no troll, it is. Yeah. no troll, it is very cheap and very fast. Like, I think me and Destiny swapped over one night, and Destiny saved $260 on her bill for the entire year.
We love that.
So, yeah, it's very cheap, and I'm all about saving money, so you should be too. So sign up, please. It is very, very, very cheap.
It is the best way to support the podcast is to support our sponsors. For today's episode, it is Manscaped, where you can go to manscaped.com/back, get 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com/back, and then mintmobile.com/backliners in order to get your $15 a month shipped straight to your door for free. Thanks everyone for listening. I think that'll do it for us. Mike, go ahead. You got a point?
So, to my earlier point, I figured it out. So if I was Ymir on a fire map, then I would be melting. But if I'm Agni on a snow map, I'm not melting, but I'm kind of losing my heat. I'm losing my flame. Soul would lose her heat. No passive. That's
no
it.
No passive. That's right. Oh, Randy Salsa, good point. In Boyhood, I'm sorry, everyone. I forgot the random question of the week. Something did feel off, and I suppose that's it. Okay, now it's time for the typical, I didn't think of a random question of the week. Uh-oh.
Pretty standard for you, right?
Yeah, that is pretty standard for me. I think I've been doing a lot of reading, but I think we talked about books in the past, so not going to bring that up.
Yeah, I don't read anything. So.
Right. Bera doesn't know how to read, actually.
No, I'm from Georgia, so they didn't teach us anything.
Right, that makes sense. Maybe we get a suggest. Mike, any random questions on your mind? Oh, Bera, yeah, go ahead.
Just do like a Halloween thing. It's
Bera, you know, it's spooky October season. 3rd.
What, you want to wait 4 weeks to do it?
Kinda.
Okay, we'll wait 4 weeks.
Bera, should we do an episode in costume?
I would have to get a costume for sure.
I'll be Post Malone.
What?
Wait, the podcast is on Halloween.
Really? Right, yeah, well, we're obviously not going to do it that night because it's Halloween, right? We're going to have to move that.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a Monday episode right there, if you ask me.
Yeah, but we'll be dressed up still.
But we will be dressed up still. Yeah, absolutely. That's how it's got to be. Oh, programming note. Next week, also a Monday show. I'm going to be going to my childhood best friend's wedding, so I will not be here. I'll be back Monday, though. So another fun episode where you get to tell me what happened in the SPL.
Oh.
You love those, boy. Right, Barry?
Yeah, I'll pay attention this week. I
watch it during the ceremony.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of like in the way. Like, I'm up there.
They say their vows, they kiss, everybody cries, you eat some food and dance. Get over it.
And I watch some SPL. That's all
I'm saying. I'm sorry. What is
absolutely
cool?
Not. absolutely not okay. Someone in chat asked here, favorite horror movie. That's something everyone's saying. Here's my favorite horror movie. This is a quick one for me. None of them. I don't like horror movies. They freak me out. I don't even get it, to be honest with you. Because being scared or anxious are not positive feelings. I don't want to feel those things. And so why would I watch something that gives me those feelings? It just doesn't conceptually make sense to me.
It's for the fun of it, right? It's the same reason people go to, like, haunted houses and stuff.
Yeah, like, I don't do that either. I don't like being scared. What do you mean?
Like, you've never once enjoyed being scared?
No.
That's I feel
what?
That's weird.
Fear is a bad emotion. We don't like that, right? Am I taking crazy pills here?
Fear and being jump scared are, like, two different things.
Like,
fear
suppose.
Is, like, paranoia. Jump scared is, like, oh, you know?
Yeah, what part of the oh is awesome for me?
Because it, like, gets your heart rate going. You're like, ooh, that was spooky.
Go for a run.
Yeah, but what if you're running away from someone?
Then I'm scared and I like it even less. What?
I don't want that. Mike, weigh in here.
Okay. I'm going to keep the surface level, and then I'm going to go deeper, okay?
All right, great.
Surface level, I actually really, really hate horror, and I cannot stand gore. Like, gore freaks me out. Like, as an example, I tried to watch the first episode of Game of Thrones, and I saw, like, a head on a pike or something, and I'm out. Like, I'm just done. Like, I just can't do it. I can't do any gore. Gore in, like, any fashion, I just can't do it. Hate it.
Personally, I like his casting.
I knew it, dude. I knew it.
I knew Mike had me on that one.
I think we pointed to each other at the same time. That's kind of funny. Past that, I actually think horror movies, as a society, if you will.
Can I get it in GIF form with like some captions? Like, as a society.
Shout out to Captain Twig. But as a society, I think what horror movies really do to us is it kind of desensitizes you to that type of stuff. And I actually think that's really bad. Like, I think it desensitizes you to some things. And I also think it kind of fuels like anxiousness or like distrust, which to an extent you could argue is like healthy. Like, you shouldn't trust random strangers, but also the idea that there's like people out there that are just gonna kill you is not necessarily true.
Dude,
all the time.
That's kind of a good point, Mike, because the one horror movie that I have like seen it's the one where they're just like, okay, this is every horror movie ever.
The people die.
Yeah, you know they're dying. That's a thing. They're, like, in a house, and it's, like, a really famous one. The people, like, come up, and they're wearing masks, and they're like, what's your deal? And then they just, like, start messing with them. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like,
The Hills Have Eyes?
No, not that one.
Purge?
No, not that one.
No, the other one where they're in a house, and people are wearing masks outside?
Like, they're, like, the preview was, like, they look outside the window, and it's just like the one where it's like they're like wearing like a little bunny mask, something like that. And she's just like swinging, and they're like, what are they doing? You know, The Visitors, Strangers, maybe?
It's not Purge.
Hold on, let's The Visitors,
bunny mask horror movie.
No, The Strangers. it is like a thing.
How about You're Next? Is that ringing a bell? You're Next?
No, that's not it. Come on, guys. This was like a... Maybe it is The Strangers. I don't remember. Hold on, let me read this plot synopsis. Barrett, tell me about your favorite horror movie while I'm looking at this.
I don't remember the name of it because I have an awful memory. But I think it was on Amazon, and it's about people doing like a seance.
It's The Strangers. I figured it out. Go ahead, Barrett. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, okay. They're doing like a seance like over like Skype basically, and then like crazy stuff starts happening in all their homes, and eventually they all die, you know, in classic horror movie ways. But it is a very good movie, very scary, not like cheap jump scares. It's like I like my scary movies to not be like very predictable and to be entertaining throughout, not just... Also, I'm with PBM, I hate gore.
I thought you were going to say he's in the chat.
I know. I thought you were going to say you're bidding.
You just said, I like my movies to be entertaining throughout. That was a real thing you said.
That's the type of stuff I could deal with, Mike. Dude,
no. Horror movies, bro. Horror movies, they'll do like storytelling for like 30 or 40 minutes before anything happens. They'll just be like dead space. And then it'll be like, oh, the scary things start happening. Like, I don't care about
plot
this.
Does not have to be dead space.
It's dead space, bro. Like, I'm watching a horror movie to be scared, not to learn about, like, what little Jimmy's dad did when he was a kid.
It would make you more scared if you know. It just depends.
Mike, listen, there's incorrect. No arguing with this man. He didn't like I Think You Should
listen,
Leave.
Listen, I actually really understand the point you're trying to make. I just think your word choice is what I'm picking apart here, okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, can you say it more eloquently then?
Well, I don't really watch movies. I watch pictures, so he's it just isn't going to help.
What? You watch pictures?
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just. I don't see a lot of movies, so no, I can't really help you, unfortunately.
The only horror movie I've really seen was The Strangers, and it freaked me out. And I think about it all the time, and I don't like it. I don't like being scared. I don't understand why anyone likes being scared. If you want an adrenaline rush, do something healthier for your brain. Like I don't know. It just makes literal no sense to me. there you go. That's my take.
Most scary movies are bad, to be fair.
Good take.
Beryl, what type of movies do you like? I feel like...
Scary movies that are good. Or comedies. But a lot of comedies are, like, very cheesy and not funny. So when I am feeling, like, in, like, that kind of mood, I'll just go to, like, YouTube or watch, like, a TV show. Because a lot of times TV shows or YouTube videos are just funnier than movies for some reason. Like, a lot of comedy movies aren't funny, in my opinion.
Yeah, comedy movies recently have definitely... Maybe it's just that I'm older.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, maybe I'm just more mature now. Maybe. Those things aren't
But here's funny, the thing. But... Dodgeball is just objectively funny, right? Like, we're all on the same page on Dodgeball, right, Barra?
It's been about 15 or 16 years since I've seen it, but it was pretty good back then, so I'll agree with it.
It is staying up there, for sure. Dodgeball, absolutely one of my favorite comedy movies. It is so good. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We went a little long, as per usual. I'm going to blame Mike because he can't defend himself. But that's the way it's got to be. Make sure you're giving us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and checking out all the great Prediction Network shows. And, of course, helping out by supporting us with our sponsors. Again, this week's episode is sponsored by Manscaped, where you can go to manscaped.com/back and get 20% off plus free shipping. Or Mint Mobile, and you can go to mintmobile.com/backliners to get $15 a month premium wireless service delivered straight to your door for free. We'll be back next week on Monday, again, to reiterate. And we'll talk a little bit about patch notes and the SPL week without me. So that should be fun. Thanks everyone for listening and watching. And we'll see you next week. Barry, it's your turn.
Bye.